And I'm thankful that we live in a country where people are able to get a good education. But I believe that education is like everything else in life. It needs to be taken and applied and used for the glory of God. And so I want to encourage these students to take the things that they've learned and try to do that to honor the Lord with those things. I'd like to share some scripture with you today from Isaiah chapter 38. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with me in the scripture lesson today, please turn to Isaiah chapter 38, and I would like to begin reading there with verse 1. Isaiah chapter 38, beginning with verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. And I want to conclude my reading there with the first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 38 for a scripture reading today. And I want to ask an interest in your prayers as I bring forth the thoughts that the Lord has placed upon my heart. And I would like to talk today, and I really struggled, it seemed, with how I wanted to try to title this message. And I would like to use the title, Conquering Death. I thought about perhaps the title of Cheating Death. But I want us to think today about how that we can conquer death. And there are some things that I want to say concerning this reading that I believe is established here. This is one of the places in the Bible, and this gives us a very good example that God is in control of our lives. God is in control of the number of days that we live here in this world. God can extend a person's life. God can take away a person's life. And, you know, there are some today that I have heard, obviously from things they believe, there are some today that believe that God is in control of life and that the devil is in control of death. But I just don't find that in the scriptures. I find that God is in control of both life and death. Jesus said that we're not to fear them which kill the body, but we're to fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And in the book of Job, we find that after Job had faced many trials and even the loss of his children, Job said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." And so the Lord is in control of our life, and he's in control of our death. And God will call us one day. When in the 14th chapter of Job, where it was read from this morning in the opening of our Sunday school class, that Job, I believe, in the 15th verse of that chapter said, "Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee." And so God, one day, one by one, he will call us. And when he calls from heaven and calls us into the dust of death, we will answer that call. And so God sent the prophet Isaiah to King Hezekiah, who was a king of Judah, and he told him, "Get ready to die. Set your house in order, Hezekiah, because you're going to die and you're not going to live." And this came from the Lord. And Hezekiah turned to the Lord. And I don't know what you may think of this. I've always had my thoughts about it. The Bible doesn't really spell it out for us word by word. It doesn't really tell us why Hezekiah was so sorrowful about the news that he was going to die. Personally, I believe that it went beyond just his personal desires. I believe that he feared somewhat for the kingdom, the situation that they were in at the time. I believe that Hezekiah feared somewhat for the sake of the kingdom if he were to die at that point. And it caused him to turn to the Lord, and he began to beseech the Lord in prayer. And then God added 15 years to his days. And so you see, God is in control. The Lord is in control. And I believe this also is a wonderful example to us that prayer can change things. And I know that when we have those among us that are sick, and perhaps the doctors have told them that they're terminally ill, and perhaps that's very true. They have a disease that would cause them to be terminally ill. But I know that God still has the power to alter those things. And I'm sure that many of you here today, no doubt Brother Collins has many times seen the Lord alter what seemed to be inevitable. God can do that. I know that many of you here have experienced that in your life, that prayer does have the capability of changing things. And you know, sometimes it's just God's will. Sometimes people are sick, and sometimes they're not sick. And sometimes people die and nobody ever knew anything was wrong with them at all. Sometimes, you know, we reach that point where despite everything, it's just God's will to call somebody from the walks of life. And so he gave to Hezekiah. He heard Hezekiah's prayer, and he added unto him 15 years. And so we see in this that we have an example of someone that through the help of God and through praying unto God and trusting God, they became a conqueror. Hezekiah became victorious over death. But also in this example that I have used before you today, this was just a temporary victory, because later on Hezekiah did die. And we may have situations here in this life where somebody in fact is sick and they're perhaps about to die, and God may hear the cries of their prayers or the prayers of their loved ones, and God may extend their time and give them extra time on the earth and allow them a victory over the disease and allow them to live a little bit longer. But those things that have to do with our natural bodies, when we win those victories, they're just temporary victories. Because no matter what, it's still appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I want to talk to you today about some things that describe death, some things that define death. And you know, the human family needs to stop hiding from death because it's inevitable. There are so many people in the world today that they say, no, don't tell me about that. We spoke about that a little bit in the Sunday school lesson downstairs this morning, that sometimes people would rather, you know, try to just put it in the back of their mind and believe that they have a great deal of time here on the earth and that death is something that's way out there in the future, that they, you know, they have somewhat of a thought in the back of their mind that it'll come someday, but that's something way off that will happen, you know, a long time from now. Listen, death is not something that's far distant from any of us. It's something that's going to come up on all of us sooner than you even realize. And it's a reality, and it would do everybody in the world good to face the reality of death, because when you really look at it, you're never going to turn to the Lord and seek Him for salvation without taking a good look at it. You need to realize today, you need to really, really and truly realize today that you're going to die. It's coming. It's facing every one of us. I want to say, first of all, in a couple of things that I want to use to describe this thing called death, I want you to know the true meaning of it today and what death really is, because a lot of people in the world today have a false concept of death. They believe that death comes and that's the end and there's nothing else to us and everything is over. But that's not true. That's not what the scripture teaches. God created us in His image and after His likeness. And every one of us that's here today and every human being that's in the world today is an eternal being. We will exist for all of eternity. Death is not an end to our existence. But what it is in death, in its true definition, death is a separation. James gives us an example of that in James chapter 2, verse 26. He teaches us there in that verse what natural death is. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so when we face death, you no doubt, most all of you here in your life, you've gone to a funeral somewhere and you've seen a body stretched out in a coffin, and people go around and they pass around and they view that body, and that body's laying there and it's lifeless. It's not moving. It's not talking. It's not walking. It's not performing any type of action. It's just laying there lifeless. And what has happened in every situation where that has ever happened or ever will happen, the spirit has departed that body and left it dead. Death is a separation of the spirit and the body. I want you to remember something else about death, that death was brought into the world, and you and I today are dying, and the sole responsibility for that falls upon mankind. Don't blame God for death. God created in us life. God took that dust from the ground and He used it to make man. God made man from the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, God did not take man and create death in him. He took man and he created in him life. He created man and gave him life. Man chose death. You know, God gets blamed for things he should never be blamed for. God gets blamed oftentimes. You know, sometimes it has even happened among Christian people where people have, you know, trials and people they love, people all around them begin to get sick and they begin to die. And sometimes people begin to blame God and they say, you know, why is God letting these things happen to me? Listen, the sickness that's around us today, the death that's around us today, those things are a result of sin, and sin is the result of man's disobedience to God, and so we are responsible for those things, not God. We're responsible. If man had not sinned, I'm convinced God never would have brought death upon him. And I want you to remember this, that death is not a good thing. Death in its origin is not a good thing. Death is a punishment. It's a punishment. It's a penalty. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, I believe it is, says the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. God created man and placed him in the garden and told him of all the trees of the garden he could freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you cannot eat of that, because in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Death was a punishment handed down from God upon man if he chose to be disobedient. God said, you choose, Adam, to be disobedient to me, and I'll punish you with death. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so death is the separation of the soul from the spirit, and death is the penalty for man's choosing of disobedience rather than obedience. And so because of that, and I believe it was Ezekiel that said that every man shall die for his own iniquity. I won't die for yours and you won't die for mine. And even though we inherited our depraved nature through Adam, still every one of us will die for our own iniquity. Every one of us. And so we have this situation. Nothing we can do about it. Not one thing can we do about it. Not one thing can we do to alter it. We can't change the fact that God has pronounced death upon the human family because of sin. And we all know that it's happening, don't we? I mean, we see it and we see it time and time and time again. People die. Nobody yet, since the very time that Adam transgressed the law of God. And some of those people back there lived many years. We spoke in Sunday school this morning downstairs about Methuselah, who lived 969 years. Some of those people back in the very early days of time, they lived a long time upon the earth. But even with them, you read there the account of their genealogy there in the book of Genesis, and it always concludes with one thing. Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. He died. Even those that live long on the earth. Nobody has lived here on the earth forever, and nobody's going to. I want you to know today, if you're here and you're lost, that you will die. It'll come. It'll come. So what do we do about this? Well, The devil obviously wanted man to die. I believe he thought he could win a victory, because we find there that after God had commanded them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that Satan came to Eve there and he asked her, you know, did God tell you that if you eat of that, that you would die? And she said, yes, he did. God told us that we may eat of these other trees, but we are not to eat of these trees because we'll die if we do. And he lied to her and he said, you'll not surely die. He obviously wanted to deceive and bring death upon the human race, and by listening to the devil and giving in to what he said rather than what God said, they disobeyed and it was accomplished. You and I today would be in a horrible shape had not Jesus did what he did. Because not only would we be headed for natural death, but we would be headed for eternal death and destruction. And I want you to know today that if you're here and you're lost, I want you to understand this today, that when we die a natural death, that it is the separation of the soul from the body. When back there in the garden, when God told them that in the very day that they ate of that tree, that they would surely die, they experienced spiritual death right then, immediately upon their disobedience. They experienced spiritual death. That is, they were separated from that fellowship that they had before with God. And there is also this thing called eternal death, the second death, and that is where your eternal immortal soul is separated from the love and the mercy of God in hell forever and forever for all of eternity. Those that die the second death will be separated from any hope of ever having God's mercy and his grace. So what do we do? Boy, you think about, even for the body, what a horrible place that the grave would have been without Jesus. What a dark, dismal, doomy, gloomy place. I'll tell you what, it would be hard for me as I go through life, and we're not getting any younger. None of us are getting any younger. We're getting older every day, and I can't even imagine what it would be like for me to be going through this life and headed towards the sunset of my days here on the earth, knowing that there was just no hope for me, knowing that my soul and body were going to be separated and that my soul was going to go for eternity to eternal destruction, and that my body was going to go to this deep, dark hole in the ground and never have any hope of ever seeing life again. I can't imagine headed towards the end of my time with such a thought as that. I thank God I don't have to. Death's going to get me. I know just as sure as anything that if I continue to live in this world, if the Lord delays his coming here for just a little while longer, I'm well aware of the fact that death is going to claim my body one day, that separation is going to come, and my soul and my spirit are going to be separated. But let me tell you something today. I'm so thankful to God. When I studied this, I gave thanks to God over this. I'm so glad today to be able to stand before you and to say to you that no matter the fact that I'm going to die one of these days, brother, I beat it. I won. Uh, Listen, for those of us that are saved, we're not going to just have a victory. We've already had it. We've already have it. Our resurrection is out in the future. Our souls have already resurrected. That's exactly what salvation is. Salvation is a spiritual resurrection. When God saved our souls, He brought them from death unto life. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he said, "You hath He quickened," which means made alive. "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And so when God saved our soul, He quickened that soul. He made that soul alive. And being alive unto God is synonymous with being dead to sin. And once you've been made alive unto God, friends, you are alive forever and forevermore. Jesus said, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And once that soul has been made alive unto God, it's never going to die. We've already won. Jesus came and through death, and the plan that God made could have only been made in the mind of God. Nobody else could have ever done that. I don't believe anybody else could have ever even thought of it. But certainly nobody could have performed it but the Lord. He came and He was born into this world and He lived in a human body. And through death, He conquered death. For you and I, He conquered death. He became the first fruits of them that sleep. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I have no hope but in the Lord Jesus. He is my hope. And that's the only hope that I need. Because through the Lord Jesus Christ, when I look to Him, He resurrected my dead soul and He made it alive forever and forevermore. And one day my body, as I've already said, if the Lord tarries His coming, one day my body is going into the grave and it's going to stay there and it's going to remain there until the Lord calls for it. But friends, listen, it's an awesome thought to me. Now I know that if my death takes place before the Lord comes back, you know, they may hold a funeral service one of these days for Jerry Miller. They may display my remains there and people may pass around and look at them in a coffin. And you know what? I won't hear the sermon that might be preached that day. If somebody sings a song that day, I won't hear the song. They'll take that body and they'll lay it out in the ground somewhere and they'll put dirt over it and I won't hear a thing. I won't hear the voices of anybody that's around. But one day, laying in that grave, I'll hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. That's an amazing thought to me. I know one thing, I can't comprehend that up here, but I sure can feel it in my heart. And know it'll happen. And that old dead body, you know, it won't make any difference. It won't make any difference if 100 years or 1,000 years have gone by and the skin worms have destroyed my body and my body has returned to the dust from where it came. One day I'll hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Lazarus heard it, and He'll say, "Come forth." And we will come forth. John chapter 5 verse 28. The hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Let me tell you something right now. Those of you that are saved by God's grace. Let me tell you this before you die. I want you to die expecting this, that the time will come when you'll hear Jesus speak to you. And he'll tell you to come forth, and you'll come forth. Those of you that are lost, you won't be able to hide from him in the grave, because you'll hear his voice, and you'll come forth unto the resurrection of eternal damnation. Jesus came into the world. He lived and he died. Jesus died. Make no mistake about it, he died. I've heard people try to say, well, when he went to the grave, when he went to the grave, he was in some kind of trance. He was sleeping. I mean, they've tried to say all kinds of things to discredit him. Let me tell you something. When they came to break the legs of Jesus, I believe just exactly what the Bible says. When they got there, he was dead. He was dead already. The Lord Jesus Christ, when they laid his body in that tomb there, his body was dead. It was just as dead as any corpse that you have ever seen. He was dead. And on the third day, he was up walking around again. Jesus went to the grave. And I'll tell you what. When he got finished with it, when he did his work on it, from that point on, it was nothing more than a pleasant place for his children to await the resurrection. That's all. It has no power over us. It has no dominion over us. I'm going to tell you something. For those that have conquered death, those that have been saved by God's grace, I want you to know something today and take hope in this and great confidence in this. Death will not harm us in any way. Don't be afraid. Be like Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Just face it in faith in the Lord. And don't be afraid. And you know what let's do? Let's die like Christians. I've prayed that prayer for many years now. That's been one of my prayers for many years. You know, I only get one shot at it. Because this natural death, I only face it one time. One time. I only get one chance. You know, look at it as an opportunity to glorify God, because for those of us that are saved, that's what it is. That's going to be our last opportunity in this world to glorify God. And I have prayed to the Lord for many years now that when my time comes, that he would help me, that he would pour his grace out upon me, and that he would help me to die well. I want to do it well. I want to do it in a way that God will be happy, that God will be pleased. Jesus went down into the grave. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Jesus went down into the grave. And by his own power, he got up from the grave. He said, I've got the power to lay it down. I've got the power to take it up again. Jesus went to the tomb, and on the third day, he took up his life. And friends, listen, when he came out of there, he had the keys with him to death and to hell. I am he that liveth. And behold, I was dead, and I am alive forevermore, and I've got the keys of hell and death, and Jesus holds the authority over death in his hand, and nobody will take it from him. And he can give you today victory over death. He can help you today to conquer death. First of all, he can save your soul. He can speak peace to your soul. He can resurrect your dead soul. Your soul that's separated from God and dead in trespasses and in sin, he can resurrect it. He can give it life. And then you can go on through this life and you can press toward the mark and have nothing in your heart but hope that when you lay the body aside, that it'll just go rest for a while, and then one day he'll call it and raise it up again and give you a brand new glorified body, reunite it with the righteous soul, and you can just go off to heaven with the Lord and live there with him forever and forever, singing and shouting and praising the Lord for all of eternity. That's what we'll do. That's exactly what, friends, I'm telling you, we won. Through the Lord, we won. I mean, we've already whipped it. We're just waiting for the final fulfillment of it. Just waiting for the redemption of the body. Waiting to be at home in heaven with God. But we've already, through the Lord Jesus, we that have been saved have already conquered death. It's already been done. Those of you that are lost, I want to tell you something today. I can't even describe to you how awful death will be for those that die without knowing the Lord. I can't even describe it. I can tell you what will happen. Your soul will be separated from your body, and it'll go straight to the lower world. It'll go straight to hell. That's what happened to that rich man. Bible says he died, he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. That's it. No more opportunities. Let me tell you something else about death before I close this message. That's been greatly distorted by even by religions in this world. And that is, when you die, whether you die lost or whether you die saved, when you die, it's done. It's fixed. This, you know, the idea of people being able to make it to heaven somehow after they've died, you won't find that supported in the Bible anywhere. The tree falls toward the north, it falls toward the south. Wherever it falls, that's where it'll lie. That rich man that died and was buried in hell and lifted up his eyes, there's nothing in the Bible that ever gives us any indication that he had any hope, he had any way after. It just won't happen, friends. People have falsely taught it, but it won't happen. When you die, your eternal state is fixed. It's fixed, and it's never going to change. Death is coming, death is sure. When it'll be, I don't know. But whatever spiritual state it finds you in, it's where you're going to remain. So let's stand and have a song. You may be here today and be lost. And you know what? Listen, you don't know when you're going to die. We don't know when you're going to die. God knows. But he's going to call one day and you're going to answer. You need to make things right with the Lord. You need to be saved. You need to know. The Bible says the righteous hath hope in his death. But it also said that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You die lost and in your sins, I'll guarantee you one thing, it won't make God happy at all. Because he did everything possible for you to be saved. While we sing, God help you.
240.